You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Hello, hello, and welcome to another Hot Seat video that later on will be converting to a podcast. Very excited about this topic. As you know, segment routing is dear and near to my heart. But in this particular episode, we're going to go deeper into some of the segment routing, as I talked about before, about simplification, about automation, and having end-to-end visibility from that aspect and reducing the number of protocols. But in this episode, Ciena actually sponsored a survey that will go deep into some of the key findings and where customers are regarding MPLS segment routing V4. MPLS segment routing V6 and SRV6. So some very exciting topic. And I'm very excited and fortunate to have Jahanzeh Bakai, who's director in PLN for Ciena, and he's a subject matter expert on this particular topic. JB, thanks for joining the hot seat.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ray. Actually, it's always a pleasure working with you and talking to you. Yeah, my name is Jahanzeh Bakai. I've been Ciena for almost 6 years, and my responsibility is including the transport section, and I'm a director of PLN. Being responsible as a PLN for direct transport section, I work with segment routing, RSVTE, MPLS TP, and whatnot. But recently, you know the importance of segment routing in out there. So mostly we have been talking to segment routing and around it. So hopefully we will cover different aspect of segment routing today and educate our audience about that.
That's excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. And in the survey for our audience, what we did was we were able to do a global market research where we had about 63 participants that we actually did a survey for. And then we did about 15 in-depth interview. And in that area, it was interesting because it was split across different industries, from mobile, from fix, and for converge. And then we were able to look at, identify companies from less than $5 billion range, and that was about 59% of them, and about 41% that were over the $5 billion range. And from a regional perspective, it was pretty well broken out, where it was about 30% was North America, 17% LATAM, 28% EMEA, and 25%, which was the APAC region. So we've got a tremendous amount of coverage from that area. And I think the good thing about it, JB, is that there were some interesting things. We saw that, you know, from an adoption perspective, it was exciting to see that about 65% of the global operators said that they either have deployed or planning to deploy some version of segment routing in 2022 and in 2023. Were you surprised by that at all? Or
yeah, actually, you missed the important part, that 100% says SR segment routing is your future.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
Because I think what we have seen from the customer, all the RFI and RFP we receive, every single person is talking about segment routing. Every single person. So this, your survey is kind of like the put the important expert and numbers around it, what the significance of it, and the important thing that it's across the globe, right? Not only specific geographic location and on industries, across the globe and across industry, segment routing is the way to go.
Yeah, no, this is good because it's something I've been talking about for a while. And there were, honestly, JB, a lot of customers that call me saying, boy, I wish I would have implemented some of this before the pandemic. So, but now it shows that people are accelerating that. But why do you think customers are motivated to move to segment routing?
Yeah, I think this is the key thing. Even though I know segment routing is popular and people want to go, with the result 100% wants to go, whenever I talk to a customer and they ask about segment routing, we want to implement it. I says, why? But the most of the time, the question comes up is like simplification and the moving forward, right? And in the SDN, and a second important point is in SDN era, they want the adaptability of the network. And through segment routing, through the label stack, they can do it easily without the worrying about the underlying transport protocol. And segment routing, you know, is a source-based routing. If you download some information at the head end, then you don't have to worry about the interworking of the, you can say, the whole network. You can have a mix of network from different vendor, but it's just a label switching. It's an SRMP that we are talking about. So the simplification and the adaptability is the highest important. Third important part I've seen is the resiliency or able to recover from the given network event. It's funny, I think you were there, Ray, when we were talking to one of our customers that was mentioning previously with RCPTE, we used to have 10,000 line of code for the network convergence. With segment routing, with TILFA, it reduced to 5 to 6 lines.
Yeah,
and
impressive.
That's the key thing that the customer are looking for.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's good. And I think part of the discussion also is that if we look at, you talk about simplification of the network and making it leaner where you're able to simplify, or you look at traditional MPLS where you have PCE, IGP, RSVP, and LDP. Now you can do a lot of this with PCE or IGP. So you create a leaner stack, right? And create a simplified architecture. But, you know, there's some parts of it where what was good about this survey that Siena commissioned was also to say, where are people regarding the roadmap on the decision making? And from the survey, we saw that about 20%, you know, have some type of plan for SRv6. Was this in line with your expectation at all? Or?
Yeah, I think it is in line because I think if you follow the journey of segment routing SRM pillars traditionally, right? So it was in the market, people start understanding what is SRM pillars about. There was small, you can say, service providers start adopting it. Then it's become a mass deployment. So I think SRVC is still following the same example where the service provider has resources to test the SRVC in the lab, bake it as a solution for 1 or 2 years, make sure all their use case has been addressed, and they start deploying. So I'm not totally surprised by 20%, and hopefully in going forward, that 20% will increase in the future.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is good from your point of view, because I have to be honest, I was somewhat surprised just from that perspective. But I think you're right. I mean, there's some benefits when you look at very large networks, specific mobility, you know, the scalability aspects of it. Now, one thing is you're an SME in the space and you've been involved with segment routing, you know, in the early days. For our audience, what are some of the key considerations that our listeners should keep in mind when deploying this technology?
I think within the segment routing, you know, there are like three flavors, right? Segment routing over V4, and there's a huge demand, and there's people are asking about SRM pillars over V6, and then SRVC by itself, right? So the demand motivation for different technologies for all these flavors is different. For example, SRM pillars or V4 is purely simplification. They want to remove the higher level like RCP2 protocol or LDP or MPLS-DP. They want to converge to one protocol using their MPLS infrastructure, keeping the service layer constant and simplify the operation. By doing this, by simplifying the network architecture, they actually simplify their operation, their management, and their debuggability, right? Because now they're one protocol to worry about. And as well, this segment routing SRM pillars can give you the TILFA, the protection, as well as the traffic engineering. So all was simplified into one. That's why I've seen the customer who's moving toward SRM pillars V4, they want to do this. But if you want to go to V6, SRM pillars V6, the customer who has the issues with the address allocation of the V4 exhaustion, they want to go for V6 to increase their address allocation. And then they want to say, okay, we want to address that part, but we want to keep their MPLS layer same so they don't have to touch their the service layer. That's why I see the demand coming from my customer. We want to continue their MPLS infrastructure, but on V6. And that's the reason, the same argument, TLFA and traffic engineering on top of V6 infrastructure. Now, the third one, which is SRv6. SRv6 is the new and upcoming and the most future-proof technology, which promise you the network programming. You can say also provide the, you can say load balancing and other aspect. But at the same time, it also, when we talk about the customer, they say we need to have a need for that. Like we need to have, like you were saying, the 5G, IoT, many different devices. We need to enable the IPv6 address on it. And MPLS, you can say, going to that point to enable services. That's for them SRVCs to go. So everywhere, that's the reason I go in detail, because they have different section, different requirement, and different need for different customer.
Yeah, no, this is great because you did a good job of breaking it up in that. But, you know, if you look at a lot of our customers, they're in a current Prez mode of operation? I mean, do you see clear benefits when to interwork or coexist at all?
Yes. I think this is another important question. I think one of the reason the survey still says 20% for SRv6, especially I'm going to talk about SRv6, is because if you go on the network out there, there are way more complex network out there, right? So SRv6 being a transport technology, and in the SRv6, you are actually enabling the service layer in the SRH header by itself. So for a customer who has existing technology from the transport and service, there's a huge barrier, right? They have to transit to SRv6, and they're looking forward the maturity of interworking technology from to SRv6 from all existing technology. So when I talk to them, when I talk to a customer who in this particular situation, they understand the importance of SRvCs, what SRvCs bring to the table. But at the same time, they are worried about their existing investment on the existing transport section and the service layer, and they want a seamless transport to the SRvCs. So number one thing that I have seen so far is the technology maturity and interoperability. And also in the case, they are still saying the SRvCs is still getting standardized. We want to see what's happening. And I will touch what they mean by the standardization, because there are different flavors which is going around, and they're waiting for which will become the standardization. And there's two more important points what I've discussed on top of what I have discussed is the existing network limitation, what the hardware they have in the network. Some will support IPv6, but when not SRv6. We have a solution for that, but they have concern, right? If we are not deploying end-to-end SRv6, what is the way to go it? And also, most important, I think in a survey it was very evident, the lack of personal experience, because the customer who has spent their time on IPv4, MPLS-TP, GAT.32, jumping them from the existing technology to SRv6 is a learning curve too. So I think these are the more important points that I have seen so far.
Yeah, no, this is good. I mean, I think because that reduced the risk when you could allow some segment routing coexistent. And you know, that becomes a use case in itself, right? Transitioning there. Now, if we continue just on that theme, right? Should whether it's a service provider or an enterprise, should they start with SR and PLS or go directly to right. SRv6?
Yeah. So I think this is another extremely good question. As I mentioned, the more complex network out there, and in your survey, in our survey, you see that 40% responders say we still have MPLS-TP, and that's a big number. 41% says we have RCP-TV enabled, and also a big number, right? Carrier Ethernet enabled like 55%. So when they want to move to SRv6, right? So my suggestion is to bring these technologies to one converging point. Maybe SR-MPLS is your converging point. Mm-hmm. Move G.80.32 ring to SR-MPLS. Move MPLS-TP to SR-MPLS. And carrier Ethernet, you can collapse to the SR-MPLS. Once you have SR-MPLS, then your next network, like Greenfield that we are deploying, can be at SRv6. Then now you have to worry about only two technologies to interwork, like SR-MPLS to SRv6, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Another possibility I can see, because the core, there are a lot of deployment at the core of RSPTE, so I can see the triangle, right? From SR-MPLS to RSPTE and SRv6. If we can keep the limitation of interworking to these three major protocols, then we are good. Then we can contain the migration plan to SRv6.
Yeah, no, this is good. I mean, this is great because I love the energy, first of all. I mean, I think also when one of the challenges early on, right, when I was talking about it is use cases, right? We have the technical discussion, but at some point at a high level when you have to justify it, you know, you have to relate it to what do you see as some of the use cases that come to mind that you currently are working with?
Yeah, I think when we did a survey, the top five application, including the 5G protection, software-defined networking, and traffic engineering, let's explain a little bit more on what they mean by that. I think mobile operator, when they have deployed a cell site router, they're like in thousands, right? And it's a lot, right? So I think one of the use cases I have seen for segment routing, especially for SRv6, is in those areas where they want to deploy more hardware and have more connectivity. But at the same time, for the service provider, they want to maximize their network. they are more leaning toward the traffic engineering, the network slicing aspect of it. So segment routing provide you that. Both SRMPLS and SRv6 provide you the best functionality. And then from the SRv6 perspective, you can do the network programming as well, which is the integral part of the edge compute. And the you can say the IoT and all the and also the 5G. So there's those use cases when this is the reason my colleagues actually laugh at me most of the time. For a very first question, I ask my customer, what you have decided from segment, if you have decided segment routing, what is your way to go? And the reason I ask, so far I have seen if a customer asks me back, hey, what do you suggest to us? Which means they're not ready yet. They need more investigation and they need more education. But if a customer directly come to me and say, Jahanzeb, I need SRv6 for that particular location. I already evaluate SRMPLS is not good enough. Then I know this customer has done his homework. And the reason I have seen so far, every customer who has asked me SRv6, they have done their homework and they know what they need. On the same time, I have met customer that says SRv6 is not for us. Because our network has service layer, like existing service layer, like layer 2 VPN, layer 3 VPN, which based on MPLS, we have a huge deployment of MPLS already. So for us going or introduce SRMPLS is no go because they're too much complex for us as of right now. Maybe in 3 or 4 years, when SRMPLS become more mature, then we have a solution from the outbound who can manage our network and do this interworking for us, then yes, we can go for SRv6. So I'm actually have seen customer across the horizon. Some actually we need our help. If they need our help, then we look into their existing deployment. What's their end goal? What's their corporate objective for next 5 years? Where do they want to go? And then give them the honest opinion. Does SRv6 really make sense for them? Or they can go with SRMPLS. If they have only address limitation, IPv4 address limitation, then we propose them SRMPLS over V6. So there are actually we have questionnaire in the world. We can go one by one and find the best alternate solution, best possible solution for them.
Yeah, no, I think this is good because you know you give that flexibility in that point, and I think some of those findings showed up in the survey too, right? I mean, regarding the number of respondents that perceive the value in SRv6.
Yes, that's true. I mean, that was very evident, right? I think the barrier survey we did, and also what you want to deploy in near future versus future, SRv6 was there, but also SRMPLS or v6 was there at the same time. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, this is good. Now, maybe if we could go a little deeper into, I mean, do you think compression and non-compression, segment ID, reinforces the impression for SRv6. It's not standardized. Does that help in that situation at all?
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that I mentioned previously, right? One of the barriers that customers say, okay, it's not standardized.
Because right.
When SRv6 first come in the picture, it was non-compressed one, you know, like full 120 byte header of IPv6. But over a period of time, I think industry realized that that's too much processing. And if you're doing traffic engineering, then you have at least four SRH header that like multiply by 4. So from the processing point of view, that's a lot. And that's actually only utilized for the traffic engineering. So no actual user traffic, right? So this is an overhead. So the industry responded back and they say, okay, we can compress the header. Now we have two leading, you can say, solution or you can say approaches. One is microset and one is GSIP. And that's the reason customers saying we are still debating which is the way to go. But from the overall, let me simplify it, because from the overall implementation, either you're on a compressed camp or you're non-compressed stand. And non-compressed stand was the earlier adopter of SRv6, who deploy SRv6 when it was in, you can say, baking state, and it was still going through an ITF draft. So those customers deploy the SRH. And when I talk about those customers, okay, do you have SRH? Or do you have any plan to go to the compressed, including microset and GSIP? This is no. I think right now, what our need is good enough for SRH. If we want to go traffic engineering, we can use a flex algo within the SRH header. And we can easily go 1 year, 2 years down the road and still do the job. But when they need network slicing and when they have to have different domain, and different use cases and different services going network slicing from one IGP domain to another IGP domain, then they are planning to do microsid. But our approach there, they can use still use a hybrid model, meaning using Flex algo within the microsid algorithm so they can have smooth migration. So these are the compressed guys who's initially deployed. But let's go to the non-compressed. The non-compressed, I think we did a survey, there's like microsid and gsid, like I think 40, there's the number who responded back is like, from the responder, like 42% respond to microsid, 16% for gsid. But in the end, this is a compressed. And compressed has own benefit and has seen more customer now after the initial deployment SRv6 are talking about compressed. And industry will decide, I mean, the ITF will decide, is it microsid or gsid? We don't want to go into that debate, but I think that's we have seen so far that is there the two can, compressed versus non-compressed.
Yeah, no, I think this is great. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Flex Algo because, I mean, from a traffic engineering, you can do the combination of PCE or Flex Algo. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. Now, yes. Now, JB, one of the things that stood out, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it seems that Ciena has taken what we call somewhat of an agnostic approach to segment routing. And that was a surprise to me. I mean, I don't know about the investment required, but it seems like you're going to be offering all of the above, whether it's MPLS v4, v6, or SRv6. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think the goal, our main goal is to introduce segment routing to the world, right? To our operator or service provider. And because of the need, geographical need, and their existing deployment infrastructure, which dictate what they want, they can go for next to 4 or 5 years, we will provide them everything. Like if they are good, they want to maintain SRMPLS v4, we have that. If they want to do SRMPLS over v6, we will provide that. If they have the go to SRv6 and they want to go for non-compressed, we will also provide them. If they want to go for the compressed, within the compressed, there are two options like microsid and gsid. Our approach is that to provide them as well, those two possibility. It's them to decide. So our goal is not to complicate their life, which is already more complicated from the day-to-day job. If give them some trust, if they invest in Ciena, if they move forward with the Ciena, they are taken care of. Whatever the industry decide, microsid versus gsid, whatever they decide, they will be taken care of it, and we will provide them full support.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good approach. I mean, I always, when I talk to customers, instead of making it a technology discussion, I go into saying, what problem are you trying to solve, right?
Exactly.
And then from there.
Yeah.
So like this, I think it was a surprise, but it was good to see. Maybe we can close with a little bit about wrapping it all together, because I've done previous hot seat with other people within Ciena regarding the adaptive IP, and there's this concept of adaptive IP 2.0. What role does adaptive IP play in enabling sub-segment routing advancements there?
Yeah, I think this is extremely important because if you remember, I start my conversation with a simplification and the visibility and the adaptiveness. So adaptive IP is the way to go because we are doing this network transformation to make our network simple and more visible. You have light telemetry tools. You will have like an infrastructure tool, so you know where the packet is going, where the congestion is, using TWOMP or any other mechanism to understand what happened in the network from latency base. If you have latency sensitive service, you can reroute your traffic to another transport or SR policy, which is going for low latency traffic. At the same time, you see one of the main concern raised by your responder was the interworking with existing technology. How do I migrate? So this whole thing can be done through adaptive IPS because it has the visibility. It can pull in the information from your RCPT network or MPLS-TP network or LDP or SR and give you the plan to migrate to segment routing SRv6 or SRMPLS or v6. So you will this will help you elevate some of the complexity that our operator or our customer are facing these days. So it's a key, most important key aspect or kind of like part of the journey toward a simplification.
Yeah, so for the onboarding and ongoing maintenance of it, simplifying it a little bit further. That's great. Well, I tell you, you're officially off the hot seat, JB. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it. You're going to get a round of applause here. Hang on. There, that's from our audience there. And I think if they contact Sienna, you'll be able to share the details because you have very elaborate details on the findings, and that's okay. I'll include the link to some of that. Well, thanks for joining, and hopefully you get to join us again when we have more progress in that. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, babe.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Moda on Twitter and LinkedIn at RModa. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.